If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19, and we'll be reading just a few verses here in this chapter, and going to just take a phrase and build a message around the phrase. We're not going to do a verse by verse study this morning, but we will take a topic and just look at some things that the Lord has for us. In John chapter number 19, in verse 16, it says that they had delivered the Lord to be crucified. And verse number 17, he bears his cross and goes to the place that's called Golgotha. The Hebrew, the place of a skull, and there they crucified him, and with two others, one on the right, one on the left. We'll take up our reading in verse number 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title was read many of the Jews, and for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. I want to take that last phrase there in verse number 22. What I have written, I have written. This old year of 2019 is just about to come to a close. Tuesday night at midnight, we will usher in a new year. Not only a new year, but a new decade. It doesn't seem possible that these 20 years has gone by since we were talking about ushering in a new century. My, the time does continue on, and seems like the older we get, the faster it runs. My dad always said that, and I didn't understand it, but I do now. And it just continually progresses and goes on. And this year of 2019 is another year that we might as well say gone. Just a few more hours that's left in it. And I believe we can apply that phrase that Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Not only does it apply to what Pilate wrote concerning the Lord, but I believe it applies to you and I, because what we have written this year, we have written. And the Lord keeps a good record. He knows exactly what we have. He knows all about that. And as this year closes and the pages go shut on this night, this 2019, what we have written is there and cannot be removed, cannot be changed. It is there indelibly. 2020 is a new year, and before long it will be upon us. The pages will be clean, the pen will be full of ink, and the Lord will begin to start writing, and we will once again begin to write our year. We'll begin to put down those things in our lives of what we have done will suffice. So today I want us to deal with this old year and the new year that is ahead of us. When Pilate wrote the title and put it upon the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, he had written that in three different languages. He put that in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Latin. It is there as a universal message to everyone of the day in which they lived. It was a message written for all to be able to see, and all that would maybe come by that cross, that they would be able to read that. It was a universal writing. It was a public writing. Once written, it could never be changed. It was not reversible. And so goes our lives. So goes the way that we live. It is written, and it cannot be changed. Are there things we wish we could change? Oh, yes, sure. We have those faults and those failures that we wish we could change some of our decisions. We wish we could change some of our actions. We wish we could change just some of the daily things that are done. But once it is written, it is written. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13 and 14. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended," or he says, "I haven't really arrived at everything that I need." He said, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before." And then he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul recognized there was a past. He recognized there was a future. And really the future, second by second, minute by minute, day by day, month by month, becomes our present. It is what happens to us right now. And the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, and verse number 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I'm sure all of us have plans for this next few days. We had plans for the Christmas season. We have plans every day. We may not have a planner where we write them down. It's just things that we know that we want to accomplish or need to accomplish, things that we desire to do. And so we have plans out there that that we hope and pray that we'll be able to do. But here, the writer of Proverbs said, don't boast about tomorrow. Don't think too much about tomorrow, because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what the next moment may bring in our lives. We don't know the joy that overwhelms us, and maybe the message or the news, something that's good for us, but we don't know it now, but it's there, and one day will become that present time with us. And just there is good news, there's bad news also. There are messages that come and things that happen that we have no idea and had no understanding of what might take place. But all of a sudden we get the message. All of a sudden we get the news, and we know not what a day may bring forth. Our plans can drastically change almost in a twinkling of an eye. Our change and our plans, our attitudes can have a U-turn before we realize it, because we don't know what's out there. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what this next year may hold for us. Now, we know what this year has. We have memories of this year. But one thing for sure, we don't have any news, or we don't have any memories of the year to come. That is before us. And so Paul says, he says here that one thing I know, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before us and pressing toward the mark, or pressing toward that place out there, that prize out there that God has for us, that we can enjoy sweet fellowship with Him. Facing the uncertain with certainty is surely the theme of the year. The days ahead may bring us tragedies. There are things that have happened this past year that we wish had maybe not happened. We do not get everything that we want. Someone might ask the question, is everything going your way? Well, no, it's not going my way. And we have to realize, and we have to come to the conclusion, that it doesn't have to go my way. But it does go God's way. It does go the Lord's way. It does go according to His plan. I'm sure we did not get everything that we wanted last year, we didn't get every desire, every thought, everything that is in our minds that we would want. But thank God we get what the Lord wants for us, and He delivers to us those many things that are good for us in our life. And so we do not get everything right. We didn't get what we wanted, everything. We didn't get everything right of what we thought would be right. The Lord knows our heart, and the Lord knows our need, and it's not that we have attained or apprehended yet. As Paul says, But we certainly can reach forward to that which is in the future. We certainly can go forward and have in our mindset that these are the things that I desire for this year that is coming. And I hope all of us have maybe thought about the year that is ahead, what we desire for our personal life, or desire for our home life, or desire for our family. And we may not get all of those things, but thank God we can make choices, and we can make plans, and we can reach forward to that prize that is before us. We learn from our disappointments. We learn from our failures. We learn also from our successes. I'm glad God's people are successful people, but in the midst of that success, there are failures. In the midst of that everything being good in our life, and being a child of God, and being a Christian, and knowing that we're one day headed toward heaven, with all that successful things in our life, there are those points and there are those places that are failures. There are those places that we fall short of the glory of God. The past can do one of two things to us. Our past can haunt us, or our past can help us. Those failures, sometimes they do haunt us. We remember them. But I'm glad, thank God, we have a Lord in heaven says, I remember them no more. We remember the areas of life that we are weak in, and we know those things. But I'm glad as we know them, then therefore, it ought not to haunt us, but it ought to help us to reach forward to that prize, to reach forward to that out there before us that God wants for us, and that He can help us with. And so this morning, let's just put the last year and this year in perspective, and that last year's history, and what we have written, we have written. What we have done, it is there. The successes are there. The failures are there. The heartaches are there. The joys are there. All of last year, it cannot be altered. It is written. But thank God there's a future ahead of us. There is a past that is in the past, but there is a future that will become our present. And when we come through this year of 2020, we'll look back and say, what I've written, I have written. And so I want us to look at some things about these days that are behind us, these days that are ahead of us, and hopefully learn and be able to be a successful child of God in this world that is filled with failure. Christian lives are filled with failure. And it's something that will not change, because we are still what? We are still of the flesh. My soul has been saved, thank God for that. But my body is waiting the redemption that comes from the Lord in His perfecting us totally. And so in this flesh, we falter and fail, we succeed, we joy, we cry, we have turmoil, and these past failures, they don't have to be forgotten. And maybe they shouldn't be forgotten. They're there as a sign for us and an indication to us that we do not have to repeat the same things. For you see, history is there that we look back and not make the same mistakes that have been made in days gone by. And by the way, the same choices, if you make the same choices this year as we made last year, there'll be the same results. And the joys of the Lord will be the same as we depend upon Him and as we look to Him. We live in a fast-paced world, and seemingly very few people have any time to consider the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord can get your attention where you will consider Him. And you will remember, you will understand that He's in control of your life. And sometimes those failures are very damaging to us. And so we leave those things in the past. We learn from those things in the past. We reach to the future and learn how to do what God wants to do. Sometimes we have to say, I just blew it. Sometimes we have to say, I just didn't do what I should have done. I didn't say what I should have said, or I didn't act the way I should have acted, or the way I acted was not pleasing to the Lord. Now, those things are there, and we cannot change them. But thank God we can ask God to forgive us. And He's always faithful and just to do that. In the 51st Psalm, of course, this is the Psalm where David is repenting of his sin in his life. And he says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Thank God for the cleansing element of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We have the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And sometimes we don't listen to Him. Sometimes we don't take heed to Him, and therefore we do our own thing, and we go our own way, and we live the way we want to live, and the Holy Spirit all along is tugging at our heart to warn us. And so he says here, "I shall be clean." David says, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness." He says in verse number 9, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." Here's a prayer of repentance and coming and turning everything over to the Lord and saying, "God, wash me, cleanse me, and make my heart right." He says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." So David realized the sin of his life, and he said, "God, would you please cleanse me? Would you take the cleansing element and cleanse my heart, and create within me a clean heart, a heart that is renewed in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Don't throw me away." Oh, thank God He doesn't throw us away. The world may and friends may, but God doesn't throw us away. And David said, "Here, God," he said, "cast me not from thy presence. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." The joy of the Lord, the joy of knowing that there's something better out there. The joy of knowing that God loves us, and He loved us enough to send His Son. And His Son loved us enough to die for us. And when He was on the cross of Calvary, He knew everything about us. I don't know what my sin will be tomorrow, but when Jesus died, He did. And He cleansed us, and He made us whole, and made us righteous. And so therefore our failures maybe are not forgotten, but that helps us not to repeat the same things over and over again. Just as our failures are not forgotten, our past victories are not to be forgotten, but to be put in right perspective in our lives. There were times, thank God, that we could say, we did pretty well with the Lord. Aren't you glad for the times of the presence of God in your heart, in your life? And we can go back and say, "Boy, I remember how the Lord blessed me. I remember what the Lord did for me." And those are the highlights of the memory of a child of God that's going through the process of time. And that process of time one day will end, and we will face Him, as our song said a moment ago, face to face. We'll look upon Him and thank God for the victories, the disappointments that come. By the way, no one gets it all right. No one ever makes 100% right choices. And no one gets everything they want. But aren't you glad this morning the Lord sends to us the things we need? The things that are good for us and will help us in our journey called time. The hurts and the problems, They're always there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15 says, looking diligently. That means very closely. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up to trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. You know, one of the great dangers and one of the great harms to the people of the Lord today is this thing that we call bitterness. You can be bitter at someone and they not even know it. And you know what? It does not bother them because that's an unknown factor in their life. But that bitterness in our heart will destroy us. The bitterness in our heart will come and bring to us a much larger process or much larger problem. The scripture says here, the root of bitterness. We all know what a root is. It goes in it's in the ground, and the vine springs up or the plant springs up from the root. You don't see the root until it comes to fruition. You don't see what's in the earth. We can go out this spring, and all of a sudden, in places that look barren and look like nothing would ever grow, all of a sudden something comes up there. You know why? Because there's a root there. And sometimes that root of bitterness in our life will manifest itself in the most unopportune time. We know it's there. We realize and we have that bitterness in our heart. But Paul says here, looking diligently, don't fail the things of the Lord, because that root of bitterness will spring up. And the next two words are how true they are, trouble you. It does not trouble the person or the whatever the situation is. It does not trouble them, but it sure will trouble you. Bitterness in our heart will destroy not the joy of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive what? Others. This past year, there may have been folks that said things untoward against you. There may have been people that would be argumentative with you over certain things. There may be family members that have issues with us. Just remember, we have been forgiven, and so therefore we are to forgive others. If we hold the grudge, if we hold that, it'll become that bitterness that is rooted in our heart, and it will spring up and it will defile us. It says, springing up, trouble you, and thereby be defiled. Last year, which is still this year, but as we look at this past year that's just far spent, don't let things spring up to defile. Don't let words become places of growth of bitterness. Don't let hurt feelings come to the point of saying those issues and those words sometimes that cannot be removed. Once a word has been spoken, what you have spoken, you have spoken. Those words that we say, what we've written, we have written. It doesn't matter how many times we say we forgive people, we have a real hard time with that other word that starts out the same word, for giving and forgetting. We can forgive, but well, we have a hard time forgetting. God hasn't given us the ability to forget. God hasn't given us that avenue that we can erase all those things and we never remember them anymore, because He's the only one that has that. God knows us, Jesus knows us, and He can forget it all. Thank God He has. My sins will never rise up against me again, because they were crucified at Calvary upon the shoulders and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have to stand before the Lord for the deeds done in my body, whether good or bad, but my sins are gone, thank God, forever. And so we find here that these past things can definitely hurt us. Let's just think about the year that is behind us and the year that is ahead of us. I dare say that all of us would be able to say, God was good to us this year. And if God was good to us last year, guess what? He will be good to us this year. It may be a different situation. It may be a different story. It may be a different circumstance, but our God is always good to us. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Every day we live, we have the goodness and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he puts that little word there in front, surely. That means it's going to happen. Surely he will be good to us. Surely he will be merciful to us, and he will follow us all the days of our life. And then one day we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As Brother Larry was teaching this morning, there's a day out there forever that we'll be in the house of the Lord. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, God is merciful to us, or He really rightfully could just say, I'm done with you. I see what you do. You do it again. You do it again. You do it again. I'm finished with you. But thank God he does not do that. For the Lord says his mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassion fail not. Compassion, the hurt that we have and feeling that hurt in our heart and our lives. He says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We have a song in our song, but great is thy faithfulness. Oh, thank God this morning I failed him so much. But he has been so faithful to me. He has been so faithful to us, to you all. He is that God that has been good to us this past year. And he is that God that will be good to us in the year that is to come. And so may we always remember God is good. Not only that, but God's grace is always sufficient. Paul says, Lord, would you please remove the thorn of my flesh? Paul prays that prayer over and over again. And God says, Paul, my grace is sufficient. He did not remove it. But he says, my grace will see you through it. You see, there are some things that God lets us to carry. God gives us that are burdens of life. And they're therefore our good. His sufficient grace has always been. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities. Whatever that was in Paul's flesh, he calls it an infirmity. Whatever that was, he said, I will glory in it if he can get glory in it. And thank God this morning, his grace is sufficient to see us through every situation and every need. And we don't know when we'll have to call upon that grace. We don't know when we'll have to say, God, I depend on you. I can't do it all. I can't do anything else. I depend upon you. And thank God the Scripture says, I'm sufficient. This morning, our Lord is sufficient. He's able. He is able not only to deliver us, he is able to continue to work in our life and to us to serve him. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold, the many broad area of what grace is to the child of the Lord. When we think of the Scripture, when we think of life, I think really it all hinges on and circulates around the grace of God. For by grace are we saved through faith. God gives us the gift of faith. That is the gift. And God offers to us His grace and His mercy. And so therefore we have that before us. We have that sufficiency to be able to take another step, as hard as the steps are. To be able to go through another day as much as we dread the day. You know, there are some people that every day they get up dreading the day before them. It may be because of circumstances. It may be because of health. Whatever the need is, whatever the situation is. But His grace is there for us to take another day. His grace is there for us to take another step and go to another hour, another day, another month, and now another year. Probably this morning, if we were to take time, we could have some testimony of how God's grace has been sufficient for you this past year. And so therefore, that is already written. It can't be changed. And I can remember that, and I can rejoice in how God is merciful to me and gracious to me. And so therefore, I can depend on what comes up tomorrow. His grace is still there. He does not change. We change. I change. Society changes. Circumstances change. But thank God He does not change. And He says, I am there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, for all things are for your sakes. Never thought about how hard that verse maybe is to live. He says, for all things are for your sakes. You know, there's nothing going to happen to us that God doesn't already know. There's nothing going to come into my life this week, next month, next year, whenever. God already knows it's there, and He says those things are for your sakes. Why? That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, abound to the glory of God. It's not about me. It's not about us. But it's all about Him. For the glory of God. When the Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient, it wasn't for Paul's glory, but it was for His honor. The things that the Lord did while upon this earth, it was to honor and magnify who He was. Even though He raised the dead and He caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk, even though He did all those things, it was not for particularly for those people involved, but it's that He might manifest Himself to those around Him that He was God. And what He does in our life, He wants to manifest Himself that He is the Lord. God is good. God is graceful to us. It is sufficient. And His strength is made perfect in our weakness. When I can't make another step, when I can't make another decision, when I can't do anything that needs to be done, thank God in my weakness, He reveals Himself. And sometimes we have to get to the very bottom. Sometimes we have to get to the very end. Sometimes we can not have to look to somebody that we trust and somebody that we know and somebody that we love. Sometimes we just have to look to God and to realize His strength is made perfect in my weakness. How could Paul write there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, how could he write, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me? Did that mean Paul was a superhuman and he could do anything he wanted to do? No. It just meant that through Christ he could do whatever God had for him. We can face the sorrows through Him. We can face the turmoil through Him. We can face tragedy through Him. We can face victory through Him. The victories that we have is not because of us, it's because of Him. The tragedies that we have is not because of Him, it's because sometimes of us. But I can face everything because of Him. I can do all things through Christ. I can endure. And who is a better example in the Scripture than the Apostle Paul? Beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked, put in prison, beheaded. But yet he makes the statement, I can do all things through Christ. And he is the one that gives us the strength. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. Before the clock ticks into the new year, we may have to be called upon to be strong. Before we turn the page of 2019 to 2020, we've been called to be strong. And it's to be strong in the Lord. And it is to trust Him. So God's strength is there for us. In the year that has been and in the year that is before us, His presence is always there. Just as He was with us last year, He'll be with us this year. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. You know, that's the problem with a lot of Christians today. They're just not content with what God gives them. They're just not content with living how God has charted out for them to live. And so they're going to go headlong and do something different and go their own way and not worry about God's will in their life. Well, we ought to be content with what God has given us. For He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Have you ever seen a time when the bill could not be paid and yet the Lord was there and He took care of it? I have. I'm sure many of you have. Have you ever sat at a bedside and you can do nothing else, but thank God He can do it all? And so we find that His presence is there for us. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? No, you can't forget that. Every mother in here this morning remembers everything, every detail about the birth of those children. It's written indelibly up here. And so Isaiah says, can a woman forget? And then he gives us the last part. God says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. So thank God this morning His presence is with us. His promises that were made to us and kept last year will be promises that we can depend upon and thank God for them, and yet there are promises yet in the future. What God has for us today, for these days ahead, I don't know. But one thing for sure, His promises, and the Bible says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Again, it's to the glory of God. Last year is history. The coming year is future that will day by day become our present. The Scripture says, and it came to pass. This year has about come to pass. A new year ahead of us. And our next year is just future history. And it will come to pass. Psalm 90 and verse 9 says, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Every one of our families here that are represented this morning, we could sit down and tell the history of our families. And the Lord says, it's just a tale. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just a story. But I'm glad this morning I have another story. That one day in my life, in my past, thank God Jesus came and revealed Himself unto me, and He gave me the faith and the grace to trust Him It wasn't anything that I did other than exercise what God had awoken in my heart, that He loved me. And from that moment on, I have a tale to tell. Tell the story to the nations, to the world, to our family, to our friends. Because our past is quickly, our present is quickly becoming our past. Our future is quickly becoming our present. And what I do, it will be written. And when we come to the end of our life, it can be rightfully said, what I have written, I have written. Have you heard, I'm sure you've heard people say, well, so-and-so, they've passed away, and their funeral has already been revealed to their friends. You know what that means? Their life is known. And their funeral has already been preached. And sometimes all we do as preachers and people that have anything to do with funerals, all we can do is repeat and remember. Thank God I can repeat what the Lord's done for me. I can remember what He's done for me. That's in the past. But you know, there's some more memories and there's some more victories and, yes, some more failures. That when we go through another month or another year, we can look back and say, I can't change it. What I've written, I've written. May we write the story of the Lord Jesus Christ that gave Himself, that people could be redeemed. He died that we might live. And thank God this morning, what He has written, He has written. Does not alter, does not change. The meaning is always there. May God help us to write according to His will. Let's stand together this morning.